to commit to my preaching once a month from the Old Testament. A little more interesting when I have an intern because he preaches every other Sunday. But anyways, we're going to go from Deuteronomy, but we're going to refer also to Romans. And we'll go from Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15, page 191 of the Pew Bible. Reading in Jesus' name. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering and take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going to possess over the Jordan and to enter to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, and that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, he is your life and your length of days, and you may dwell in the land of the Lord, swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask that you would strengthen us and encourage us in and through your word. We ask that you would allow us to see the light of the gospel, the hope of eternity, and really, Father, how blessed we are to be your children. We ask this in your name. Amen. It's kind of a cheery text, isn't it? You know, I actually have a few friends that are going through the Monday night class. In fact, I have started taking the Monday night class, at least observing it, because I've never heard the seminary teaching Deuteronomy before. This is actually on the church calendar text. I didn't just willy-nilly pick it. But I thought it was quite interesting when I read it because it has a real understanding of what I want to call the benefits of being in God's grace. Too many times we have a tendency to think that as believers in Christ that there is nothing left for us to do. And I'm battling this right now in my own personal life. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not. I don't want to ever lead people to a works righteousness, and I don't believe Moses is either. I don't believe Moses is saying, now, by doing these things, God owes you. That's not what he's stating here. I remember a long time ago, I had a lot of struggles with the law. Let's even go back to the reality. I had a lot of struggles with the Ten Commandments. And I can tell you exactly where I was because I have more of a visual memory than anything else. I was on the seminary roof. We stripped it and we were re-roofing it. And I was talking to another student who was going to the seminary. I wasn't going to the seminary at the time. And we were up on that ridge line and we were looking over Hancock. And I told him, I just don't know what to do with these commandments. Because are they good for us? Are they not? And all this other stuff. And he started laughing and he's a relative of mine, but he's a very smart young individual. And he said, don't you realize that these commandments are good for us? Have you ever heard anyone say that? We often live in fear of commandments. He said, but God knows what we need. God knows in reality what is good for us and what isn't good for us. And he says, so I want to make it simple for you. He says, to love and honor God, to have no other gods. Do you know how much simpler life is when you do that? When you know your purpose, when you know whose child you are. He says, to honor mother and father. Don't you think it's easier to do that? Don't you think it makes your life more peaceable? Not to steal. Isn't that really neat that you don't have to go through worrying about being caught and all these other things? He was using it on a very surface level, but he was explaining to me in a very simple way. They're not demands for salvation in reality. He says, God knows what we need. Now, not all of us can relate to this. I have a tendency to, talk about things that we feel, everyone should be able to relate to. Well, not everybody has children yet. Someday, I'm sure you all hope to. But we do a lot of things for our children that we feel are good for them. Not many children raise their hand and say, you know what, I want to go to the dentist today. I think it's very good for me to go to the dentist. There might be the odd one. But sometimes that's something a parent has to take upon themselves to do. If a child is sick, there's not many children that say, I really want to go to the doctors. They actually want to resist that. But a parent knows what's good for them and they bring them to a doctor, right? So we should be able to relate to the understanding there are things that we do that are actually good. They're beneficial for our life. We may not be thrilled about them, but they're beneficial. Well, this is the reality in our day and age, even now. We understand, I believe in this room, I pray you do, and if you don't, come talk to me after, that your sin debt has been paid fully by the blood of Christ, that God has so loved you that he's wiped out your debt. And that by grace through faith, we receive this beautiful gift. But then we sometimes have a tendency to think, well, we're all done. We can continue on as we go, and we can continue doing what we do, and I'm not saying the love of God changes, but it can cause some serious hiccups. It can. Some of the things I've dealt with in my life, I don't even need to look into the congregation. I know they've caused hiccups in my life. I know there's grace for them. I know that God loves me. I know that he calls me beyond these things. I get that. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I've gotten angry at my wife before. And that always ends well. I've been sassy to my wife. Hard to believe, I know. But that always ends well, doesn't it? So if you were talking to your young man, your young son, your young husband, your son is married, I'm sure you would encourage him to have patience. I'm sure you'd encourage him to respect his loved one. I'm sure that's how you would do it. Not that his salvation is in the balance, but it definitely could make his life a lot easier. And that's what I think Moses is trying to share with us. The children of Israel were promised the promised land. They were told that they were going to receive this promised land. We understand that it was difficult for them to fully grasp this. We know that they were wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering in the wilderness basically for 40 years. It's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it. Was God punishing them? We call it that. But the fact of it is that he was teaching them. Powerfully teaching them. And there's so many things that they actually forgot wandering through the wilderness. The scripture actually says that they were provided all the food that they needed. Everything was a provision of God. How hard do each and every one of us work physically to provide for our families? I think we do quite well at working. We work hard. But yet, every day they went out and they found their food. They found their manna. They found their quails. They found, in reality, water God provided for them. But we forget about other things. We talk about the sandals. 40 years. How long have you owned the shoes on your feet? 40 years they walked. They wandered. And their sandals never wore out. But it actually says in the scripture, which we often leave out, their clothing didn't wear out. God took care of all of their needs. He wasn't being a taskmaster, beating them into submission. He was showing each and every one of them where their provision comes from. It's no different for us in our day and age. That God is our provision. He takes care of us. Yes, we may work by the sweat of our brow, as we call it. But the reality of it is, even the ability to do that is a gift of God. So now, who are brought into this part where Moses is encouraging them, and he's trying to tell them. And he says very plainly, he says, you know what? I'm setting before you. I'm giving you this ability, and we don't like the word choice, so I won't use choice. My wife sang a song a couple weeks ago about deciding, and I got a few messages about that it wasn't the best song probably to sing because we don't like semantics. We would rather receive than to accept, and I can play along with that. That's fine. That's fine. I still thought it was a neat song. And if you actually stop for a moment, my brother Scott brought me to it and showed me the history of the song, how the man that wrote the song was actually killed for his faith in India. Might be a little different to him. So I think sometimes we have to stop judging so much from the external and maybe actually just allow God to be God and us to be obedient. But whatever. So anyways, you stop and you look at this for a moment, right? He says, I am placing before you, what word do we use? A crossroad? We are in the old covenant here, so I can get away with a little more liberty, I suppose. But the fact of it is, he says, I am setting before you life and good, or in reality, death and evil. And then he goes to this point of saying, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. See, he's not saying now, I, Moses, am telling you these things. He is speaking for God. And in speaking for God, he says, you have in reality before you a path to walk that is good and healthy for you, or a path to walk that is bad for you. Which one will you choose? Oh, I said that word. Sorry. It was too easy. I didn't even do that on purpose. That's just how it comes. Right? We in our life have this ability, not in our salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are things that are good for us. I have a friend that he bought a new truck. It wasn't real long ago. He bought a new truck. Nobody in this room. So don't look at Steve. But his truck was diesel. You know, and all his life he's had a gas pickup truck. And he goes running over to the gas station and he jumps out of the truck and he fills that baby up, and after the thing is full, he looks and it's regular unleaded gas. You know, he was so used to doing something one way, and he put a product in the truck that was not going to let that truck run. It wasn't good for the truck. He had to have the truck picked up and towed. They had to pull the tank, drain it out, put diesel in, whatever they did. I don't know. But the point is that truck will not run on gas. It might run for a few minutes. I'm not saying it wouldn't. But I guarantee you it's not healthy for it. Okay. So we can come to a very earthly understanding that, you know what, if you put the right product in, the machine will run. And we stand on our righteousness saying, well, I don't want to accept, I don't want to decide, I don't want to choose, all this other stuff. I get that. It's not a decision-based theology that we live. God has blessed us with faith. God has given us faith. But as believers in Jesus Christ, as those that have been reborn in this understanding that we've been given, how do we live? How do we respond to the faith that has been given to us? Do we continue down the same pathways? Maybe you do. I can't judge that. I know God has worked in my life that things that I thought were acceptable, things that I thought were good for me, he's revealed aren't. They just aren't. And so now Moses is trying to encourage this group of people that before them, God has placed them in this place where they have to walk left or right. He says, and this really will be good for you if you obey. And we don't like that word either, do we? I command you this day, but he says, that I command you today by loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments and statutes, then you shall live and multiply. And your Lord, your God, will bless you with this land, he says, and all those that are entering in to take this possession. He says, God has good things in store for you. I wish more of our youth would understand this. That God has good things in store for you. I wish that I fully understand this. At times my humanness comes out and I think I figured something out. I think I can take a path. I think I can do something. Maybe you haven't had that problem. Maybe you're beyond that. Praise God if you are. But there's many times in my life that I thought I knew, and this is how I'll state it in my life, I know what God wants. Therefore, I will do it. And it's ended in folly. But God's not done. He's not done with us. In reality, he can use these things by the power of his Spirit to encourage us to change. But the one thing that I wanted to open with is really a point of scripture that is very powerful, and I asked it in Bible study this morning. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word. The Word. He's not talking about Eminem's Word. He's not talking about Snoop Dogg. He's not talking about Conway Twitty. Not that I haven't listened to that stuff. I have. I'm very, very much interested in music. But it's in the Word of God. Remember that diesel fuel, the unleaded gas? What's coming into our lives? What are we filling our life with? And that's really the question that I think comes out in this. Are we going to receive, and that's the word I think that we can use very strongly, are we going to receive the gifts that God has offered us? See, and I think this is quite interesting because that part of Scripture actually comes right from Romans, Romans chapter 10. And it speaks in a very powerful way. And actually, it is being quoted from this part of Scripture, actually, because if you were to read the first few verses of what we just read before we started, it does talk about who's going to ascend to heaven, who's going to do all this stuff. So really, now in Romans, he talks in this fashion. He says, for now, he says, for with the heart one believes and is justified. Paul is sharing this with the Romans. He says, with the heart one believes, takes it in, and he is made right before God. He's not talking about a works righteousness. He says, by this faith he is justified. And with his mouth he confesses in reality, proclaiming what he believes, this individual believes, right? And it says, and by that confession they are saved. So I'm not giving you a list of do's and don'ts so that you can become a better person. I'm telling in reality, because you are a better person in Christ, you will have do's and don'ts. That's the thing that we struggle with. See, we struggle even with the book of James, don't we? Maybe you don't. I have. I've struggled with it a lot until I actually went through seminary, and we went through the book of James, and I realized James is a beautiful book that tells me, because I am a Christian, these are the things that will happen. When I see someone in need, I can't help it. Because God has loved me so much, I will help them. When I see someone is cold, because God has warmed me and given me my provision, I will help them. Because in reality, I see someone that's hungry, I'm not just going to pat them on the back and say, good for you, hopefully something comes along. But because I am a Christian, because God's Spirit dwells within me, I can't help it. I am going to enter into their life and help them. Jesse, I'm going to talk about the fleshly Jesse, wants to figure out if they deserve it. Wants to figure out if they've done the right thing. Have they made the seven steps? What is it in their life that justifies they should get help? Well, let me ask you a question. What have you done to justify the grace of God? Now, if it's, you think it's because you've done the right steps and you've said the right things, you've made the right prayers, you've done all of these good works, that's no different than being a heathen. That's my opinion. You can do what you want with that. It's not a works righteousness. But he says very plainly, he says, for the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And this is not embarrassed. Will not be let down. We put our trust in a lot of things in this world. I have. I've put my trust in a lot of things in this world. I've even dabbled in stocks. I've dabbled in side businesses. I've dabbled in sales. I've dabbled in construction. I've dabbled in all kinds of things. And putting my trust in these things. Every one of them has let me down. That's really the whole point of it. I've been disappointed with a lot of the returns that I get in my life. That might be earthly for you. I'm sorry, we live on this earth. But you know who has not let me down? my God, my Savior, because he loves me in spite of all this. He loves me in spite of the fact that I've tried chasing after everything else. See, Moses speaks so strongly in Deuteronomy, and the next chapter doesn't get much better, because when you go to the next chapter, he basically is going to tell you, I'm telling you all these things, because Moses is coming at the end of his life. He's going to hand everything over to Joshua, and he's really preaching to the children of Israel, say, do these things, do these things, do these things, and you are going to live. And then he gets to the end of it, and he says, and you're not going to. You're not going to. See, it's not that God's word is wrong. It's that our flesh is corrupt. And see, this is the great hope through all of this. In spite of Moses making this strong proclamation and preaching this powerful message, God still loves us and desires for us to have restoration. So this is another point in the scripture that really brings me to the understanding of we couldn't do it. So God says, I will. I will. See, God's not surprised when we fail. He's not up there like, oh, Jesse did this. I can't believe it. I never thought he'd do it. God knows. And in spite of me failing and even trying to convince myself that I won't, he sent his son. He sent his son because he desires for restoration for me and for you and for each and every one of us so much that in spite of our own schizophrenia, thinking that we can do this on our own, he sends his son. See, Paul talks about that in Romans. He said, the good that I would, I don't do. He said, the bad that I would not, actually, that's what I end up doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of flesh? Who? And then he says in the very same breath, I thank God through Jesus Christ. See, Moses made this powerful statement. He made it in the old covenant. And he understands very plainly, you're not going to do this. You're hard-hearted. You're selfish. But who not? You know who's not? God our Father. He's generous. He is merciful. And he desires for you. And if this should say anything to you, it is to understand right now, no matter who you are, no matter where you're sitting, no matter where you're here on the internet, whether you're up there, whatever it may be, you have a value. God loves you. He desires for you to have restoration and to have peace. He desires to keep you within his grasp. And so he came for you. He says, for the one with the heart who believes is justified, and the mouth confesses is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed, will not be let down. He says, for there is no distinction anymore. And this is our new covenant that we're in. He says, whether it's Jew or Greek, the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on each and every one who calls upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not calls on something else, not calls on their works righteousness, their religion, the group that they identify with, but in reality calls on God the Father through Christ Jesus, will be saved. Is that good enough for us? Or are we sticking to another standard? It is Jesus and. Jesus but. He says, they will be saved. He says, but how will they call on them whom they've never heard of or never believed? How will they believe in whom they've never heard? And how will they hear without preaching, without proclaiming, without sharing, whatever your word would be in there? He says, and how will they preach unless they are sent? He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news. How blessed are they. This is not just talking about me as a bappi, as a pastor. This is talking about all of us as living Christians entering into this world to share, not in reality, our synod's doctrine, but to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share that in spite of who you are, God loves you. In spite of your failings, God loves you. And he calls you to turn, to calls you to repentance in reality, to see him and to know him, for he loves you. I really, truly believe that a majority of people in this world, they are looking for love. They're looking for respect. They're looking for honor in some way. As a parent, you watch children do this. You watch them enter out into this world, and you watch them look for love. You watch them look for respect and maybe some image with their job or whatever it may be. And on the sidelines, you're like, your love's right here. Mom and dad have always been here for you. Mom and dad always loved you, always encouraged you. It doesn't mean that they don't think you love them, but there's something more. Do you know what that more is? Remember in the 60s, they turned around and they said, ooh, I got to go find myself. I got to find who I am. I think there's truth to that. I think each and every one of us needs to know who we are as a child of God. That's what they're seeking for. The contentment only comes through knowing Christ Jesus as your Savior, knowing who you are as this child of God. So he says very plainly, preach the word, share the word, teach the word. And then he goes on and he says, for they have not obeyed the gospel, not all have obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed us and who has heard us? He says, so faith cometh from hearing and hearing of the word of Christ, the word of God. Isn't that powerful? Is there something that we could do? Or are we so now born free, there's nothing we need to do? See, and there's the whole key, that word need, right? Salvation is not predicated upon what I can perform and what I can do. But faith in reality is the key element to that salvation, ultimately. How do we strengthen our faith? Maybe that's a better question. I am so proud of each and every one of you today because that's why you're here. To hear the word, to be encouraged. Well, what about when we leave here? It's nice to have 28 minutes of Pastor Jesse get up here and rant and rave. But what about when we leave here? Do we read? Do we listen? Are we involved in Bible study? I don't care if you come to this Bible study or another Bible study. Are we involved in his word? There's plenty of Bible studies. And that's ultimately what he's talking about here, is that faith in reality comes by hearing of his word. But if we're not partaking it, then how are we going to be strengthened? How do we overcome things in our life? I strongly believe by listening to his word, being strengthened through his word. That's how I am encouraged. So many times Jesse thinks he has an answer and then he goes and he tries it out and it doesn't work out. But yet going to his word encourages us and walks us through it. He says, but I ask you, have they not heard? He says, indeed, for they have, the voice has gone out throughout the whole world and also into their words to the end of the world. He says, continually this word is provided. Brothers and sisters in Christ, not everybody is strong enough to walk through these doors. I get that. 100% get that. And sometimes we look at our own children and we'll say, well, why don't you come to church? How about we love them where they're at? Share the word with them. Encourage them. You know, one of my children doesn't come here. And then he came and he spoke to me. And he's like, Dad, a couple weeks ago, you made this comment in your message. He said, I thought that was quite intriguing. And I looked at him and I said, you listen? He goes, often I listen. He said, I'm just too lazy to get up in the morning and come to church. That's honesty. And I pray that someday he'll have that ability to get up in the morning and come to church, whether it's this church, another church, whatever church it may be. But I am praising God that they hear the word. I don't want people to hear my words. I want people to hear His word. See, and this is really the summation of this. God knew that we couldn't do it ourselves. But he loved us so much. He did it for us. He did it for us. And all he asks us to do is to share the victory and the great works that he has performed for each and every one of us. You are so loved. Every one of you is so loved that he came and he took your place. He hung on that cross. He died for your debt. And he victoriously was risen in your behalf so that you would have hope. You are alive today because God has given you life through Christ Jesus and him alone. May we remember that. May we not look back to the Old Testament and say, what a bunch of failures they were. But may we see God's graciousness and the reality that the human being has failed. He came and took our place and did not fail. We are victorious. We are cherished. And we give honor and glory to him for the life that we have. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. We have communion, so now the worship team will sing.